We thank our participants in our worship service thus far, those who have led out. We are grateful that we can still be together in this. And indeed, we are sinners, every last one of us. But by God's grace, we are saved, present tense. Amen? So every day is a fresh new day. And God has given us the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. The price has been paid. All we have to do is to receive him, accept it, and live by his grace day by day. So as we go into the word this morning, I'd like us to bow our heads. Father in heaven, what a privilege it is for us to open your word together and to refresh our memories, because we are so apt to forget. And so new every morning is thy love, our way, uprising proof through sleep and darkness. You safely brought us, restored to life and power and thought. And Lord, today we need a reminder, and that's why we've come together in fellowship in this fashion to encourage one another, because we are apt to get discouraged. And so may your word do its work in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message is Rest in a Time of Restlessness. And you heard the scripture reading, it was read. And so I want to remind us that this message is for all of us, including me. And I thank you, Elder Johnson, for the prayer. I've been wrestling with the Lord whenever I have to share a word for the Lord. I spend early mornings talking to the Lord, realizing that I am representing him, not myself. And I don't give what he has not impressed me to share. And so as we're all individually and collectively going through this experience, we can rest even in this time of anxiety about our futures. And I'd be lying if I didn't tell you that I worry at times. But I thank God for his word that encourages me that there is a better day coming and there is a future that we have. And even if we die, we have the blessed hope of eternal life. And that's a wonderful thing to have, a wonderful insurance to carry around with us, that we don't have to wring our hands and be in despair. Yes, we're human and we do worry. We are concerned. And when I go to supermarket, or I go to this, we found this beautiful beach that is just, we were on it by ourselves for a long time, and then somebody came, and it's not overcrowded, we can enjoy the beautiful waters, and you're afraid of being in touch with people. And I have to admit, when I was going to do Ron's funeral on Monday, yes, I had some level of anxiety, because you know what you're going into in those situations. But thank God for his grace and his mercy. We had an awesome experience with the Lockhart family. And so while we are in a place of restlessness and anxiety, the disciples, they found themselves also in a time of trouble, one of anxiety and panic. They were in a life-threatening situation. However, Jesus was on hand to assure them that he is available and he's able. And so the stress and the anxiety can be put to rest, and that we can have the assurance that our future will be bright. And so Jesus said these words in verse 40 of our scripture reading, but it's also applicable to us today. He says, why are you so fearful? Do you have no faith? Are you worried about the future so much that you cannot function in the present? You see, the future requires us to exercise a level of faith. And this was a challenge for them, as it is for us today. With the winds howling, and the water flooding the boat, how can you not fear for the future? With COVID impacting our lives and our livelihood, our future survival is in question. How can we be at peace looking into this darkness, into this uncertain future? And so if Pisgah and the wider church is under attack and appears ready to fall, can we press on in peace rather than in panic? How can we have rest in a restless, conflicted world? And so Jesus is reminding us that when our life is full of change and conflict, we can survive and thrive only because God is our creator. You see, he has a good plan for us individuals. That our destiny is not in our hands. God has this. And so the nations may feel like they've got control, but they don't. And we have seen clearly what has happened with the early opening, the anxiety to get people back to school, get the kids back to school, to get the businesses open, to get the bars open, the nightclubs open. And we saw what happened. The Lord put a stop to all of that, and he said, put the brakes on. I'm in charge. This will go when I say it will. And so though human actions may derail God's plan temporarily, God is ultimately in control. And he has given us the assurance through the death of Jesus Christ. His plans will be realized, and our promised future is sure and it is secure. Whenever you plan a vacation, you always anticipate and you live the pleasure before you actually get on the vacation. When we were planning our trip to Israel and to Africa or any island of the Caribbean, we always are excited. We plan, we get the suitcase down out of the attic, we get all of our clothes, and we take time to pack to make sure that we don't leave anything out. And we get our visas in order. We get our, make sure our passport is not expired. We make sure that we have currency that will be used in those countries. And when it is over and done, we always say, well, we had a good time, but it is good to be home. We're home, we can relax. It's good to have a place to call home, a place where you can rest and be yourself. Eat the food that you want. You don't have to eat out. You can cook what you want. And so all this time at home since March, 5 months and counting, it is not the real rest that we enjoy. We're all dealing with the pressures of life. We have to get back to work in order to pay the bills. Our loved ones may be far away and they wish they could be with us. And so we talk to them on Zoom. It's not the same as being in person. Having the fellowship at church is not the same as being on Zoom. And so I'm assured by the psalmist when he writes in Psalm 55, verse 6, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, then would I fly away and be at rest. You see, David had observed the doves feeding along the ground. When any danger threatened, they simply flew away and not become the meal for a predator. In our troubles and our struggles, picture how nice it would be if we could do the same, if we could fly to another country where the pandemic wasn't affecting the people as much as it is here in the United States. How can we rest? Things and circumstance may help, but they cannot eliminate the restlessness that we feel because we can't come and go as we want. And Luke chapter 12, verse 15 says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. Yes. You may have a flush bank account. But it is better to have a good health than it is to have money in the bank. Perfect stress-free circumstances are not possible in our fallen world. In our fallen condition, we're unable to see and accept true perfection. Christ's own disciple could not see the perfection that existed in him and in all that he did. They were restless. They were under stress, as we are. We first hear about rest in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Rest in a restless world. It says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And so God's rest is not like taking a break in the midst of working. Creation was complete. The word for rest is the Hebrew word Shabbat. Shabbat. That's the word that Sabbath means. So when we say happy Sabbath, we mean happy rest. I often prefer to use the word holy Sabbath. Holy rest. Rest in the Lord. And so the next time you hear the word Shabbat is in Genesis chapter 8, verse 4. It says there, and the ark Shabbated on the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the Mount Ararat. Then we find rest in the fourth commandment. God rests, and our faithful rest in his complete work is the reason for the commandments. God wants us to rest in him, not just rest on the rest day, but to rest in him. And so Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And Genesis 2:1-3 said, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he Shabbated on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And so the first important lesson from Scripture is, when God has finished something, it is very good. Isaiah 45 verse 18 says, For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, and he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. And so it was all done in 6 days. Is that correct? Took 6 days to create the world? No, it wasn't done in 6 days. He added the seventh day to the sixth day. It is by what God did, his act on the seventh day, that made it Shabbat. So we don't have a six-day week, we have a seven-day week. He rested from a completed work, he blessed the day and set it apart. This is why the number seven can be recognized as completion, total, or all. Without the seventh day, creation is not complete. In both the Bible and in ancient culture, this is recognized. There is clear evidence in the cuneiform text, which is our earliest reference, that the Babylonians regarded seven as the number of totality or completeness. The Sumerians, from whom the Babylonians seem to have borrowed the idea, equated seven as all, total, complete. The seven-story towers of Babylonia represented the universe. Seven was the expression of the highest power. Seven gods meant all the gods. This sacred or symbolic use of seven was not peculiar to the Babylonians and their teachers and their neighbors, but was known in India, in China, among the Celts, among the Germans. And so the Bible record suggests that the idea of seven indicating completeness is derived from God's activity. Thus the heavens and the earth were complete and all their hosts, and on the seventh day, God completed the work which he had done. And so the idea of seven symbolizing completeness or all is evident in this and in many other references throughout scripture. In Genesis 4, therefore, whoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. In Matthew 12, 45, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they entered in and dwelt there. And the last state of that man is worse than his first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Matthew says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, nay, I say unto thee, until seven times, but not until seven times, but until 70 times seven. You see, the number seven occurs 7 times 7, 49 times in the book of Revelation. In Revelation, the seven churches are used to represent the complete Christian age. The seven spirits of God equals the completeness of the Holy Spirit at work in the world. The many sevens reminds us that God is completing his work of salvation on the earth. You see, our Heavenly Father, the great creator, made a special time for fellowship with us as humans. That first Sabbath, Adam and Eve learned where they came from, and they began to know their creator. It was not a one-time event. God put a blessing in the seventh day, set it apart as his special holy day for the human race. And Mark chapter 2, verse 27 tells us in 28, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. You see, he made the Sabbath to be a weekly time for resting in God, a time of special fellowship between God and his people. And so we use the term so loosely, happy Sabbath, but it is not just resting in time, it is resting in a person. And that's where we find rest for our restlessness. Try to imagine Adam and Eve in the prime of their life. I can imagine how it felt for them. When I turned 21, I was full of energy, never got tired. I only slept because it was night. Now I nap in broad daylight, and I'm wide awake when it's still dark. My future seemed bright, but the way I felt was nothing compared to the life force of Adam and Eve. They could run and not get weary. Sister Melissa rides a long ways, as she was testifying this morning, and she gets tired. But Adam and Eve, they could go for days because they were energetic. The earth was fresh, no pollution, no nothing, but a perfect creation. So can you picture them running across a field as swiftly as the deer? So much to get acquainted with, so much to see and do. It would have been easy for the world and their own abilities to become the center of their thinking. They could just be centering on themselves and their work. And sometimes we don't take a break, even on Sabbath. We're supposed to let go, and we still are trying to do business on the Sabbath. We're still thinking about what we got to do on Sunday, and we don't have a downtime so that we can rest in the person who created the Sabbath. This is exactly what happened to Lucifer in heaven. He centered his attention on himself. And when we center our time and our attention on how we feel, what we got to do, we are not at rest. We're not experiencing a Shabbat. And so Adam and Eve needed Shabbat rest with their maker so that his sanctifying power would keep them willingly united to him, and they could become all that they were created to be. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. So until we enter into that total rest in the Creator, we will still be struggling with our anxieties. And so Shabbat is a sign that our faith in the future rests in His work, not in our doing or our activity or our busyness. And so we know what a trademark is. And it's a name on a product that identifies who is the creator or the maker of it. A trademark name can add great value to a product. It tells us who produced it and who guarantees the product. Made by God the Creator, the Sabbath bears the trademark of God. And that trademark is in the commandments. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Boy, whenever you go to the sea, you realize that there is a creator. There's so much out here on the eastern shore, so much wildlife, so many beautiful birds, and you're just amazed as we stayed in the water for a good time, and we just observed the birds, and we observed everything around us, just beautiful nature, although it's marred by sin. But it's such a refreshing thing to get away and to be out there and watch the birds as they circle, and the crab pots that they're dropping, and the sailors are picking them up, the lobster men. And they're preparing to take them to the restaurants in D.C. and people are actually eating that thing. Mercy. I'm just amazed at the Creator and the power of God. And so it says that God, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. You know, we're Adventists. We read this so often, but we miss the point. We miss the part that the trademark or the name on this day is the Creator, Lord. There are three times this sacred name, Lord, which the Jews neither wrote nor spoke, appeared in this commandment. It was so reverent and holy to them that they would not even write it. They write YHWH. To represent it. And they didn't speak it. Because God is so high and holy, they could not and felt inadequate to use the name. This is the name I am, which Christ claimed for himself and for which they wanted to stone him. Here's what they said in John chapter 8, 58 and 59. Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And so this is the trademark. God is the creator of the Holy Sabbath. We need to have a relationship with him. And so he tells us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath is not something new that the world had never known. It was known in ancient cultures. The seven-day cycle of days is evident in ancient history. In seeking to understand where the idea of seven and rest originated, Augustus Strong in his systematic theology says, and I quote, but now the discovery of a calendar tablet in Mesopotamia shows us the week of 7 days and the Shabbat in full sway in ancient Babylon, long before the days of Moses and the Ten Commandments. In this tablet, the 7th, the 14th, the 21st, and the 28th day are called Shabbats. The very word used by Moses And following on are the words, a day of rest. Resting in the Lord and his creation. The restrictions are as rigid in this tablet as in the law of Moses. This instruction must have gone back to the Akkadian period before the days of Abraham. In one of the recent discoveries, this day is called the day of rest for the heart. Don't miss this one. Write it down. This is quoting from Systematic Theology, page 408. It says, the institution must have gone back to the Arcadian period before the days of Abraham. In one of the recent discoveries, this day is called the day of rest for the heart. And on account of the propitiation or atonement offered that day, their heart is at rest. Are you at rest today on God's Shabbat rest day? You see, a rest is a time of reflection. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his works which he had made. And so it is a corruption of God's rest on the seventh day. God's rest was not due to some propitiation or atonement offered to him, but due to what he had provided for the human race in creation and in the Sabbath. Sabbath rest witnessed to the fact that God is the one who is the source of the complete rest for which we long. And so the Sabbath is to be remembered. Why remember that he is creator? It is by his work that we and all things exist. It is by his work that we have salvation. It is by his work that we have a future. Without him, there is no future. This is why true rest is found in a person. It is found in his goodness as our creator and in his goodness as our redeemer. And so Shabbat was made for the human race to keep us connected to our roots. We humans did not originate out of some mindless random occurrence. We are here because of a person, and that person is God the Creator. Humans made in the image of God could experience the joy of living to a supreme level. Humans were to experience the joy of living and knowing God, and so to reflect his goodness, his righteousness, and his love. Hallelujah. But guess what? Sin changed the human situation, and the rest of the Bible story is a revelation of God's work in Jesus Christ, through whom he will restore all things. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3 assures us, verse 20, and he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things. Restitution of all things in the future, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. And so the Sabbath, as the memorial to God as creator, tells us that he can make us over into a new creation. It is a sign that his creative power can sanctify us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Ezekiel 20, verse 12, moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify. So that's the process of sanctification. It includes the Sabbath, because we're resting not in our works. We are trusting in the work that Christ has completed for us at the cross. We have been sanctified, meaning that we're set apart. We don't act like we don't know what is right from wrong, because God has put that in each of us. There's a conscience. You know when you're messing up. So you shouldn't have to be told. you're living in sin or you're doing the wrong thing. Your conscience tells you, because God has given us that ability to know right from wrong if we read his word and trust his word. And so the seven-day Sabbath is not only a part of God's eternal memorial law, moral law, it comes to us rescued and restored by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord even at the Sabbath. So while the sun is setting at 8:23, can we get our house and our minds in order so that we can enter into the Sabbath and we're not just busy trying to rush up to the end of the, when the sun sets, to get our stuff done? You see, God did everything in 6 days. If he could make the world in 6 days, what an awesome world. And he gave 24 hours for us to rest. Why can't we? You see, the Sabbath was being regarded as a good work by which to earn God's blessings. The rabbis had given hundreds of rules about what was permitted and what was not permitted to do on the Sabbath. And in the messianic anticipation of the first century, there were rabbis who taught that if all Israel kept a single Sabbath properly, Messiah would appear. Or if they kept two Sabbaths properly, not only would Messiah appear, but the nation would be redeemed. That is amazing. Jesus, by his life, revealed the purpose and the blessing of the Sabbath by fallen humanity, for fallen humanity. It was his custom to attend synagogue or church or Sabbath school on the Sabbath. His fellowship with his people, that was what he was after, a relationship. He taught his people, he worked miracles for them. God does more work on the Sabbath than healing, and they were mad, the rabbis. Or we called them Pharisees back then. In his Sabbath ministry, we see the blessing which the Sabbath provides for the fallen human race. And in his prayer following the Last Supper, Christ said, "I have finished the work for which you gave me to do." As he died on Friday, he cried, "It is finished." And Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus got permission to bury him. And so the Son of God, by finishing the work he came to do, had authored salvation. He was the author of salvation. Salvation, which has been a plan and a promise, he made it a reality. Having accomplished that work, he at creation rested. And so he rested in Joseph's tomb, just as he rested on the seventh day at creation. So when the job was done, he rested. God's true rest from our restlessness comes to us through Jesus Christ. And Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 and 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So are we worried? Are we stressed? Are we frantic about what's coming next? I want to invite you to rest in Jesus, because whatever may come, you can't stop it. I can't stop it. I just have to ask God to prepare me for what is next. And so the leadership of Joshua gave the 12 tribes rest in the land of Canaan. That was not the rest which is found in God. King David brought to Israel rest from its enemies. It did not last. That rest was not the rest we long for, not the rest God provides. And so he says, "There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also ceased from his own works as God did from his." And so the promised Sabbath rest cannot be known apart from Jesus Christ. He is our peace. He is our Shiloh, our peace giver, the messenger of the covenant. He is the one who assured Moses following the golden calf idolatry, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. The cloud went before them to search out the resting place for them. Peace comes from being in harmony with God, brothers and sisters, by trusting him completely. Christ, by his life and his death, has made this possible. Now, by his heavenly ministry, he is with us more surely than he was in the boat on that storm-tossed sea of Galilee. We come to him, accept his yoke, learn from him, and give him our obedience. We are to always, even when the boat is filling with water or COVID-19 is attacking our bodies and we can't breathe, keep our faith in him and our future glorification, looking with our eyes to that day. And for he is the creator. He is the builder. He is the protector. He is your enabler. And he is with his church. God bless you. And so observing God's Sabbath becomes a delight and a weekly experience in the rest which God has for his people. Hallelujah. Those steadfast saints who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ, we take our refuge in him. He's our peace. He is our rest. Hazel and I have three babies. We had three babies. They're now adults. And our three babies seem to pick the most awkward time of the morning to start crying. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, they're crying. And the crying indicates that the diaper was full and wet or they were hungry. A child crying is an alarm that can wake a mother from her deepest sleep. She gets up, she changes the full or wet diaper, takes him, mostly it was one of the boys who was doing all the crying. There was one who slept. We had to shake him to figure out if he was still alive because he would sleep well. She would take him in her arms, cradling him, rocking him gently from side to side. Gently, she lays him on her shoulder, pats his back, if she had given him formula to wind him, and softly speaks to him. After a while, the crying slows, then it stops. A few more turns of the head from side to side. Then he takes a deep breath and he rests his head on her shoulders. All is quiet. He's now at rest. Can you picture yourself in the same way, grown adults as we are, resting in Jesus' arms, resting in his promise? You see, the eternal God is our refuge. And underneath, I love that, underneath our everlasting arms, he's cradling us, brothers and sisters, in his arms, Deuteronomy 33:27. And so when all about us is conflict, picture yourself safe in the arms of Jesus. His promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Your future is secure. You have found Shabbat. Shabbat is not only a day, it's an attitude that becomes a way of life 24/7. And so, praise God, we can sing the beautiful song that Nebuchadnezzar Peter sang. Sabbath rest, holy rest, resting in a person, not just in a day. And so, our closing hymn is, we set our work aside. We leave our cares behind on this day of Shabbat rest. On this your holy day, we come to give you praise on this day of Shabbat rest. Shabbat rest, holy rest, on this, the day he set aside, hallowed, blessed, and sanctified. Shabbat rest, holy rest, out of all the week, the best, we have come to be blessed on this day of Shabbat rest. May we rest in a person, in the promise that the future is secure, though we struggle now, but in the end, we shall enjoy glorification. God bless you.
Let us close with a word of prayer. Holy Father, we are thankful that there is a full and complete rest still waiting for the people of God. Christ has already entered there. He is resting from the work, from his work, just as God did after the creation. Let us do our best to go into the place of rest, to being careful not to disobey God as the children of Israel did, thus failing to get in. Now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace now and forevermore. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to respond to the word today, brothers and sisters, before you go. I know we get so taken up with our activities and our responsibilities, and we put the cart before the horse. And when we do, we get sick, we get stressed, we come down with high blood, sugar, diabetes, all the negative things that causes our demise, because we're frantic, we're not taking time to rest in God. And I want to reassure each of us today that if we would raise not just our hands but our hearts and say, Lord, during this time I need to reevaluate my life and what I've been allowing to happen to me, what I've put as priority, which is not God's priority, it's man's priority. If I would understand what the devil is trying to do, because guess what? The most of the world will be going tomorrow to church, because that was Satan's plan. It's a remnant that keeps the Sabbath. And so I thank God for that. And so if you can say, Lord, give me strength to enter into your rest, to trust you with my life and my future, I want you to raise your hand where you are. And may God bless you as you make that decision in your home today, to enter into his rest and to let him have full control of your life. God bless you. Thank you for your response.